greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy, I'm joining you live tonight right here on a Tuesday evening. Appreciate you setting up and waiting for us on the 11 o'clock hour. Praise Yahweh. You know, the watchman on the wall, he was always watching. And appreciate you being the listener that you are tonight. Part two, you don't want to miss this one, ladies and gentlemen, the art of self-discipline. If you take discipline and roll it up into its proper package, you'll know exactly what it means. Discipline is the refining fire by which talent becomes an ability. Now, I'm going to repeat that again. It's a good saying. Discipline is the refining fire by which talent becomes ability. You see, ladies and gentlemen, nothing comes easy in life. You gotta polish the gem if you're going to become a diamond. Remember, you started out in the rough. And there are two ways of spreading light: to be the candle or the mirror that reflects it. Now, I'll repeat that one because that bears repeating. There are two ways of spreading light: to be the candle or the mirror that reflects it. You know what the Bible said? It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Take what Yahweh's given you, work on it, refine it, turn it into an ability, and know that spreading the light, that's the joy of the Holy Spirit. Be about your Father's business. Work while it's light, for the nighttime cometh and no man can work. Listen to this one. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishment. You understand that? Discipline. It's the bridge between goals and accomplishment. Set your goals. If you don't ever set a goal, you'll never have an accomplishment. If you don't have this one, you'll have neither one. Endurance is one of the most difficult disciplines, but it is to the one who endures that has the final victory. Listen to this one. It was character that got us out of bed, commitment that moved us into action, and discipline then enabled us to follow through. He that cannot obey will never command. Discipline is remembering what you want. For every disciplined effort, there is a multiple of rewards. With self-discipline, most anything is possible. And of course, you know the scriptures, all things is possible to them that believe. Many of life's circumstances are created by three basic choices: the discipline you choose to keep, the people you choose to be with, and the laws that you choose to obey. Now, that bears repeating because that is the gestalt, the foundation that I'm going to use the process of part two of how to live with discipline in an undisciplined world. You've got to withdraw yourself from the world, ladies and gentlemen. If you love the world, the love of the Father's not in you. You've got to come out of the world. You've got to be a separate. You've got to be a peculiar. You've got to be a holy. You see, Yahweh's people are very odd and unique. The Bible itself says they're peculiar. And if you've ever been around any that's really got the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost driven by truth. Now, a lot of people claim the Holy Ghost. I mean, they'll shake and they'll speak in some kind of a tongue and they'll run the aisles and they'll hoop and holler. But they ain't got no knowledge. The Holy Ghost is knowledge. Many of life's circumstances are created by three basic choices. Number one, the discipline that you choose to keep, the people that you choose to be with, and the laws that you choose to obey. You can do something about the laws and disciplines that you keep, the people you choose to be with, and the Bible said the birds of a feather will flock together. You know, you're going to have a few, you know, fishers in love people. They'll just hang around because they won't fellowship and fish in love. They don't really have their spiritual mind. Their integrity is not for the gospel's sake. It's for self-serving, self-centered, and purposes of things that are not kingdom related. You see, our whole duty is to fear Yahweh and keep His commandments and the self-discipline. We can achieve that. And for every disciplined effort, there's a reward. And discipline is remembering what you want. Call to remembrance the former days before you were enlightened. And now compare yourself to the day that you are enlightened, because if you light a candle and keep it lit, you'll either be the light from the candle or you'll be the mirror that reflects it. So remember, you're known by your fruit. Discipline is a bridge between goals and accomplishments. Endurance is the most difficult, but it's the one that endures who has the final victory. The Bible says to continue, don't look back. He that looks back is not fit for the kingdom. See, it's self-discipline. And with self-discipline, there's a reward. And what is the rewards of serving Yahweh? Well, life eternal is not bad, is it? You can't obey, then you can't command. How do you expect somebody to follow you when you can't follow the disciplines of the Messiah himself? He said, can you drink of the baptism or can you drink of the cup that I drink of? Can you be baptized with a baptism that I'm going to be baptized with? You see, ladies and gentlemen, for every discipline effort, there's a reward. Life circumstances is three basic choices. The disciplines that you choose to keep, and you know you can't be so selective, you got to keep them all. You see, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You're sitting out there waiting for the big fox, and the little fox is down in the row. He's doing the damage down below, and you can't even see him because you're waiting on the big fox. Satan's very crafty. The disciplines you choose to keep, the people you choose to be with, and the laws that you choose to obey. That's exactly where discipline comes in. Let's go to the Bible now for a Bible study on discipline. I want you to think with me tonight. You know, we're all weak, but it's just like a young man that goes into to weightlifting practices, and he starts lifting a pound a day, and then he gets to a pound and a quarter and a half a pound and three quarters of a pound and then 2 pounds, and then he keeps on growing until he can lift enormous amounts of weight. It takes discipline and conditioning. If you run around with people that are not, I mean, they're lukewarm, you know. They're not as warm as they should be. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know for sure that you better rebuke your neighbor, frankly, so that you will not share in his guilt. Leviticus 19 and 17, rebuke your neighbor, frankly, so that you will not share in his guilt. If you fail to show, point out his weaknesses or his sins or his iniquities, and you won't rebuke him, open rebuke again is better than sacred love. And if we receive this rebuke, listen here, it depends on how you receive the rebuke. Yahweh judges you. Yahweh will send you a rebuke, either through a brother, through prophecy, or through some means. It will always come through his people. And sometimes it's people you don't even like. I know one time I was struggling, and I was in a temptation, and I didn't know it. Anybody knew it. And frankly, I don't believe anybody did know it. But there was a man come up behind me in the work line. We was fixing the clock out. And he tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Brother, I want to encourage you to strengthen yourself. If you've got any problems and you need to talk, you can talk to me." And I didn't even know the guy. And man, that scared the living daylights out of me. To think that Yahweh would send somebody that didn't even know right up in a work line and not expecting it and get that? I don't know what he meant by it. I took it that Yahweh had told him what my problem was. Listen. This is a good one. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 25. Proverbs. Rebuke a discerning man, and he will gain knowledge. Now listen to that again. Proverbs 19:25. Rebuke a man that can discern, and he will gain knowledge. Man, that really helped me when that man rebuked me. I mean, it just gave me the boost I need to get over that temptation. The Bible said there's no temptation overtaking you, that with the temptation, Yahweh will make a way for you to escape. Yes, like I said, when Yahweh sends people to verbally rebuke you through prophecy or admonishment, don't let the pride puff up in you and don't take it personal. Remember, this is for your own good. When a brother comes to you and tells you some of the problems that he sees in you, and you won't, you know, you're trying the best you can. You know, we all sin and we all fail and we all come short. So we need our brothers, and if they're honest with you, they're gonna rebuke you. Listen to this. Listen. Here's a good one. Proverbs 17:10. A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes for the fool's back. Let me give it to you again. See, it's a quality or the attitude that the person has that you rebuke, or maybe it's you. If you are a wise man of discernment, a rebuke will impress you. You'll figure it was straight from the Father. But a fool will receive 100 lashes for his failure to obey the rebuke. Now, the Bible says that the rod is laid up for the fool's back. How many times has my back been lashed because I was foolish? Man, I'm telling you, self-discipline is one of the things that every one of us needs. Listen to this one. Proverbs 28:23. You know, somebody's going around bragging on you all the time and building you up like you're Superman or something. You know he's got an agenda somewhere. Because, you know, life is tough. Even the prophets, the men that could raise the dead and cast out devils, everybody looked at them as false prophets. They hated them. Beware of a man that is well spoken of. I'm going to repeat that. That bears repeating for self-discipline. If you find someone in the community that everybody's talking good about, you remember how Jimmy Swaggart, how he got on national television and he would, you know, he's good at this. He would wrinkle up his face and he would act like he's crying about something and he would brag about he'd never tasted a beer and he'd never done anything wrong, but his other two cousins or whatever, you know, they were famous. He would brag on himself and throw off on them. He turned out to be a worse pervert than they was. At least they wasn't hypocrites. Listen to this one. A man who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. If you tell somebody the hard facts of life or their failures or where they're wrong, and that man is wise, and he accepts that rebuke or the information. And when you rebuke a man, do it in love, do it in kindness, and do it sincerely. tell people that I was disappointed in them. And life's full of this. Most of the time, the harder, the more you love a man, or the more that you want to be friends with a man, or prove yourself friend, and you know he's got your back. And then when he lets you down, you feel like you've been betrayed. So he that rebukes a man in the end will gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue. Don't use flattery. It won't get you nowhere. The only people who receive flattery is a fool. A wise man will receive instruction, although it's a rebuke to him, although he's got to change something in his life, although he's got to give up something, although he's got to dig deeper. You know, when the tough get going, or the going gets tough, the tough will get going. Proverbs 15:31. He who listens to a life-giving rebuke will be at home among the wise. For it is better to dwell in a house of herbs, where they're eating, in a house of herbs, than to be in a house that is cooking meat in a house of a fool. Rebuke is a life-giving. It's given to correct. It's given that you would act upon it. Now, you first got to admit that that you're wrong. And that's hard to do. The Spirit will confirm the truth of the rebuke if it's given in love and kindness and patience and long-suffering, because usually those that are in charge of bringing a rebuke have been rebuked themselves. You take a carpenter, if he's never built a house and he's got nothing to show for his work, the first house he's built, you're going to see a lot of mistakes in a first-time carpenter. That's why that wisdom comes with continuous usage of your gift to polish it. If you're going to, the wise man, it pays to be around wise people. I just love to be around, like I said last night, I love to be around men who can give you life-changing advice, and advice that you need, rather than trying to impress you or flatter you or tell you what you want to hear. It's for correction. It's for reproof. Psalms 141, verse 5. Let a righteous man strike me, and I will consider it kindness. Let him rebuke me, it is that I consider it to be oil on my head, and I will not refuse it. David. Oh man, when you like to walk around in David's shoes, just a day to really feel how good it is to walk like a man. A man after Yahweh's own heart. Proverbs 25, verse 12. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Luke 17 and 3. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. You see the steps there? Now, if he won't hear you, you take your brothers. If he won't hear the brothers, you take him to the assembly. If he won't hear the assembly, turn him out and let him become a reprobate. And I'm telling you, if you carry it out in the manner that Yahweh has given us, first you do it with kindness. You do it with love. You go to him and him alone. If he won't hear you, take it to the brothers. We don't hear the brothers. Then you go to the next step, and then when you exhaust all of the steps, Numbers 11 and 1. Listen to this one. The people complained about the hardships, and when Yahweh's anger was aroused, the fire consumed those on the outside. the skirts of the camp, 32,000 people died because they complained about their hardships. If you endure hardness, then Yahweh will deal with you as a soldier. Yeah, you're gonna. He didn't call you to be one of those armchair Christian quarterbacks on Sunday that goes to Sunday school and hears some little weak Sunday school teacher and telling you how good you are and telling you one of those romantic Bible stories. Honey, it ain't romantic when you live it. How you think that, you know, they'll talk about, oh, Elijah, how wonderful he was. Have you ever really read about Elijah? The hardness that he had to endure, had to live in the wilderness, had to run for his life because he wouldn't back down on Yahweh's word. Yahweh loves a faithful soldier. Yahweh loves them that would love him. Resist temptation. Persevere in the tests and the trials and the suffering, and never resist what Yahweh is allowing to happen to you. For there is nothing happening to you that Yahweh will not see you through with if you remain faithful. We know that all things work to the good of them, Romans 8:28, that love Yahweh and are called according to his purpose. But those who are consistently sinning and are not rebuked, those who will never repent of their sins because they've got money and, you know, and somebody's sucking up to them because they're somebody. Did you know that the man that's got money has got it through his wisdom? He sees through the game. All that man's looking for is a good friend that he can trust behind his back. And he'll be there in the storm. It ain't the sunny day people. It's the rainy day people. It ain't the big money people that will love you and support you. It's the people that ain't got nothing in the agenda. Nothing to gain and nothing to lose but their salvation. When you look at a man that his next step is ordered from the kingdom, everything that he does is directed toward kingdom principles, then you know that you've got a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Psalms 38, listen to this one. Yahweh, please, don't rebuke me in your anger. Don't discipline me in your wrath. For your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down hard upon me. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden to be spanked by Yahweh. It is in truth. Do you pass the family test of discipline? Remember, you're in a complement, a family that is going to be, they're going to be chastised all the time. They're going to be whipped. And you know no chastisement is pleasant. And you know who's doing the chastisement, don't you? Because Yahweh is trying to sound your faith. He's trying to give you a formula. He's trying to give you a path. He wants you to know that it's a path that is narrow and treacherous, and only a few have earned the right to walk on it. I love men that's got faith. I love praying men. I love humble men that takes off their hat when the Creator's being addressed. It just shows me something about a man. And ain't no other time you better not mess with his hat. He'd whoop you in a minute if he was to grab his hat off his head if he didn't want it off. But man, you mentioned the name of the Creator and off comes the hat. Praise Yahweh. You call a prayer meeting and you watch the sisters. Watch them run and cover their heads and fall on their knees and pray to their Father. That's a formula of discipline. that's shed abroad in the heart by the Holy Spirit. Just because a man cries and weeps and humbles himself before Yahweh and the brethren, and he's a sign he's weak. That's a sign he takes his life serious. That he's passed from death to life because he loves the brothers. Listen to this from Proverbs chapter 1, verse 24. You rejected me when I called you. No one gave heed when I stretched out my hand. Since you ignored my advice, you would not accept my rebuke. I turn. I will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when your calamity comes and overtakes you. Like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you, like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, I shall not be found. Because you forsook me, I will forsake you. Proverbs 1:28. Then the wise will call to me, and I will answer. But the unwise will call, and I will not answer. They will look for me, and they will not find me. The righteous will look for me, and I'll be with them. Since they have hated knowledge and did not choose to fear me, since they would not accept my advice and they spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their own mind. Proverbs 29:1, a man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'm going to repeat that one. Yahweh, help us tonight. Help us to have self-discipline and be men and women and quiet ourselves. Do the work of evangelists. Always be about the Father's business. Always be real mindful and considerate of your lowly brother. You can't cast him out because he's obnoxious or you don't like him for some reason. When he's cold, you wouldn't give him a coat. You wouldn't give him a place to sleep. If he's hungry, you wouldn't give him nothing to eat. And you claim you've got Yahweh. You are nothing but a liar and a father of it. And you need rebuking. And you will be rebuked. Because that's the law of the Holy Ghost. A man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed, and that without a remedy. You can run to the doctor and you can have your chest split open, and they can do all kinds of signs and wonders. But when Yahweh rebukes you and puts you down for the count, they ain't got no remedy for it. There ain't no medicine invented. There ain't no scalpel that'll cut it out. They ain't no healing balm of Gilead to come up on you, to rub on you, to get you better. If Yahweh's for you, who can be against you? And if Yahweh's against you, who can be for you? Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, self-discipline. Remembering what you want. And then going for it. For every discipline effort, there is, and I repeat, there is a reward. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that has no rule. You know what the Bible says about anger? The Bible says be angry and sin not. It knows you've got a nature. That's that carnal nature in there. We've all got anger. Even the Messiah himself had anger. I mean, he got so ticked off down there at the temple, you know. I mean, he overthrew the money tables of the money changers. He seen that mess going on, and he knew that they didn't love the Father. He knew they was only in it for the filthy lucre. You take people that love money. Money is a necessary thing for you to have. It's good. It's not evil. Money is not evil. It's the love of it. And what you do to get it. If you can't have character with money. I've been around some. I've got a lot of friends that's got money. And most of them that's got money have got more character in the end of their finger than these poor people have got in their whole body. No wonder they stay poor and destitute and lonely. having to beat you out of what you got. You can't trust them. Judas was the same way. They couldn't trust him. He carried the money bag. He you know why? Because he was attracted to money. He loved it. I show you his nature. Did you know his father was an Edomite? Canaanite? Judas's father was a Canaanite. And Canaanites love money. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now, if you've got discipline, you've got knowledge, you've got self-control, you're able to enforce your obedience, you can control your flesh. Paul said, if I can't be a hearer or a doer of what I teach, I'm a castaway. I mean, he didn't just run around and raise the dead and preach the gospel and heal the sick and shake off snakes off his hand that bit him when he should have fell down dead. He was disciplined. When they beat his head in with rocks and left him for dead, somehow he come back too and got up and staggered away and escaped. Discipline is making a conscious decision to love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark 12:28-29. Discipline is making a conscious decision to love your brother every day. And if he sins against you 7-8 times a day, you got to forgive him if he asks for it. And you know he's sincere. Discipline is making sure that you study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you know more about everything in the world and you know about the Bible and how to be a brother, you better throw the stuff that you know about away, and you better get in the book and you better turn the page. Discipline is listening and obeying the Holy Ghost prompting and the unction from the Spirit. It will speak to you if you're close to him. You've got your heart seared like a hot iron. You want to do good, but you've got too much pride. You're stuffed-shirted. You ain't going to give in to nobody. You ain't going to accept rebuke from nobody. Nobody can tell what you do. You've got it made. You're in the shade. You better get in the sun of the candlelight, or you better become the mirror that reflects it. Discipline is making sure that you obey Yahweh's commands and keep his commandments and statutes. Most people don't even know when the Sabbath comes, and they don't give a damn. They could care less. You'll be damned if you don't give a damn. You're going to reap what you sow. Discipline is to resist the devil. Oh, yeah. Devil come say, oh, you don't have to take that crap. Man, look who you are. Why, that's that little old feller that ain't got 2 cents in his pocket, shaking his leg and acting like he's a prophet. You see, well, it's easy to scorn. It's easy to throw rocks at Yahweh's servants because they're humbled. And they don't seem like much, but I'm guaranteeing you if they got the word of Yahweh in them, it'd be better if you put a millstone around your neck than you offend one of them. Oh, no wonder that I weep when I see things that are evidently going to have a recompense. It breaks my heart to see our brothers and sisters in our faith failing to obey. Discipline is praying for others before you pray for yourself. Discipline is putting your brothers before you. And discipline is not only having the spiritual gifts, but having the knowledge and the ability and the love to use them. If you're puffed up in pride, you know, I've seen people that's got talent to play on instruments. You have to beg them. You don't ever have to beg me. I ain't got no talent, but if somebody let me play my guitar, I may not pick it like Roy Clark or this Neil Tillis or whoever tell you one thing. I can have put on a happy face when I praise Yahweh, and I can praise Him in a dance. And I love to do it all the time. Discipline is serving your brothers and sisters before you serve yourself. You know, I look at people, you know, when they go to the table. They're the first one there and the last ones to leave. All they want to do is fill up their gut. If you're a gluttoner, you're sinning. You should discipline yourself. You ever tried fasting? Hey, some people never fasted a day in their life. You've got to have discipline to fast. I waited and waited and waited and waited before that I ate any pleasant food, because I said, if I can just hold out tomorrow, maybe Yahweh will speak to me. It became a hunger. I mean, when you quit hungering for the natural food, you start hungering to hear His spiritual food, to eat from His table. If you want to become strong, build up your faith like you're lifting weights. Go out and do something good for somebody if you want to feel good about yourself. Carry somebody's burden. Call them up and ask them what you can do for them. Proverbs 25:28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. See, a lot of our brethren and sisters don't have any walls. They've been broken down. And yet, the flesh man is prideful, standing tall, thinking he's something when he's nobody. Take heed, lest you stand, thinking that you stand. Take heed, lest you fall. You better watch. You better listen. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any of them, Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. You better watch. If it's not expedient, you better turn from your wicked ways. If it's not to build up the kingdom or bless your brother and somebody lower than you, you think you've got problems? There's always somebody that's got more problems than you have. When you're feeling sorry for yourself, then you meet somebody that you feel sorry for. That means he's got a greater burden than you have. And there's a lot of them out there. When's the last time you went to a nursing home and prayed for the sick? I used to preach here on the radio. Gosh, this has been 45, 50 years ago, right here in Tazewell. And every Sunday evening, I would go to the nursing home, and I'd make my rounds from my little old $10 Sears guitar strapped around my neck. Me and my brother and the sister, she played the tambourine and the guitar, and we had our little trio. We'd leave the radio station. Faithfully, we'd go first to the hospital and the nursing home and then the jail, make our rounds on Sunday and do our duty. And I got blessings from that. That's discipline. I keep my body under subjection, least by any means. When I have preached to others, I should myself become a castaway. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. You inward man should dictate, and you should let everybody know what's in your inward man. And people can discern if you've got anything in there, or if you're just a soul empty that needs filling. You know, there's a lot of people that's never had the Holy Ghost. They don't want it. They've never prayed for it. I've laid on altars for days and hours and weeks and months and years seeking the Holy Ghost. I wanted it. I desired it. I wanted it in my life. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Your inward man should be guided by the dictations of the Spirit. You've got a relationship with Him. It has to be close. Draw nigh unto Him, and He'll draw nigh unto you. Keep your body with discipline. Avoid sin. opinion, flee from ever disobedience of the carnal mind that wants you to sin. I've been beat so many times for my sins, and they said, "Be sure your sins find you out." Oh man, confess your faults one to another, James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. You know, these self-righteous hypocrites ain't got none. Man, I like to be around people that says, "Man, I failed God today." They break down, they just weep, and they're brokenhearted. And the first thing you know, I mean, you feel so sorry for them. You're down praying with them and for them, and you feel worse than they do, and you're trying to get under them and lace them up. Simply because they're so sincere and they're so fearful that they have offended the Holy Ghost. Oh, man. Be better if you put a millstone around your neck and jump into the sea and try to swim the Atlantic more than you have dared to offend one of Yahweh's little ones who has not really done anything to you except they're just trying to be who they are. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Listen to this. Notice this. Titus 2, 3 and 4 says the elder women should be able to teach the younger women. 1 Timothy 5 and 2 says men are to treat the older women as mothers and the younger women as sisters with purity. I'm telling you, we start looking down on your sisters. I've had sisters so wise, more wise than I ever was. Although my hair was gray and I had years in the service, they had some wisdom. Now we can work in a little sister or a little brother that you never think that any knowledge or truth could come through. That's the ones that will teach you a few things. Praise Yahweh. Are you, therefore, which teacheth another, failed to teach yourself? You know, you're always telling somebody else what they ought to do. Are you doing it? You tell somebody to keep the Sabbath, do you keep it? You tell somebody not to eat unclean food, do you eat unclean clean food when you get a chance and nobody around? Galatians 5:16 can tell you real quick what kind of sins that can creep up on you. Remember, examine your life daily to see whether you're in the faith. If you're a teacher, you've got responsibility. How can you teach something that you don't live? Live it. If you teach it, live it. If you don't live it, don't teach it. Say, "I'm just waiting to move up." A strong city is built and fortified with wisdom. A poor man's wisdom delivered the city. But a city that was without walls had been broken down because they wouldn't heed the rebuke of the prophets that passed by the city. You know, you're like a city set on a hill. Elijah was a mighty man indeed. He submitted himself to Yahweh. He was subject to the same temptations we are, but he had a strong spiritual desire to make sure that Baal had been eradicated out of the homeland of Israel. And he really figured he was the only one. Yahweh said, "What are you doing down here in the wilderness running from that Jezebel?" Elijah said, he started blurting out his problems. "Well, haven't you heard? Jezebel Nahab's passed the laws. You're no longer here. You're no longer master in Israel." Do you know what it means to submit yourself? Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is, if they do it with grief, it is unprofitable for you if you won't receive their instructions and their rebuke. 1 Peter in chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for Yahweh's sake. If meat offends your brother, quit eating it. Paul said, if meat offends my brother, I won't eat meat anymore. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, likewise, you younger men, submit yourselves unto the elders. I mean, a lot of people better watch the elders. They got power. They're ordained. They're filled with the Holy Ghost. And they've got a command. 1 Peter 5 and 5, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject to them, or one to another, and be clothed with humility, for Yahweh resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Notice, if you teach that to another, you better instruct yourself, lest you become a castaway. Romans chapter 2, verse 24. And the wonderful thing that I've always tried to hold up is the name of Yahweh through my character, that the name of Yahweh be not blasphemed among the Gentiles. Romans 2:24. The name of Yahweh, it shouldn't be blasphemed. Stand up and be disciplined. Love Yahweh. Submit to Him. Don't submit to the television or your wife and run around Wally World. She's got you out shopping on the Sabbath when you ought to be studying and praying with her. She ain't got time to pray. She got to get her nails filed and her hair done at the beauty salon on the Sabbath. Yeah, you out there pushing a buggy, trying to please your wife. It ought not to be. You should love Yahweh. Love your brothers. Read your Bible, but obey it. Don't forget to pray and don't forget to fast. Be filled with the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Recognize the spiritual battles going on around you, because there's many. Pray for those who are in your care. And pray for one another. Walk with Yahweh, just like Adam walked with Yahweh. To talk to Yahweh, just like Adam talked to Yahweh. Discipline yourself. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived as a weaker vessel, she was in the transgression. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Yahweh knows what you are going through. And Yahweh knows that discipline is a refining fire by which you shall overcome. Yahweh knows that you are the candle. If you burn it at both ends, you might burn out. But let it burn. Or you can be the mirror that reflects it. A lot of people get the light and they go out and become the light. Discipline is a bridge between goals and accomplishments. Endurance is one of the most difficult disciplines, but it is to he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. It was character that got us out of the bed this morning, and commitment that moved us into action, and discipline enabled us to follow through. And if you can't obey, you certainly can't command Yahweh's people. Discipline is remembered what you want and go for it. Every discipline effort has a multiples of reward. With self-discipline, most anything is possible. And many of life's circumstances are created by three basic choices, as I close my message tonight. The discipline you choose to keep, the people you choose to be with, and the laws that you choose to obey. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve Yahweh. I want men and women in our group and our faith to say, Pastor Buddy, he's one thing I'm about him. He's got the love of Yahweh. He's got a tender heart. And he's willing to forgive. And he's willing to forgive. A lot of people can't forgive or forget. Some people can forgive, but they can't forget. We have differences, and we have some differences, and you prove to be right, I'm willing to repent. If you find out that the discipline of refining fire would test your ability, have you got enough ability to honor that discipline and walk up to Yahweh and say, Yahweh, I'm going to be yours. I'm going to be yours. The first and best victory that you'll ever have is to conquer yourself. I'm going to repeat that before I close tonight. The first and the greatest victory is to defeat yourself. I learned that through fasting. I had such an unruly inward being. It lusted to sin. Man, I just enjoyed. I mean, it wanted to. It was just like it couldn't get enough of it. And I found out it wasn't that inward man. It was that outward man I was letting rule the inward man. And I started fasting and starving the outward man until the inward man began to speak to my heart. And he come forth with power and wisdom and knowledge. And the more I fasted, the harder it had come. The more I loved Yahweh, the more the world hated me. And the closer I got to him, the further away from the world I got until I become a stranger and a pilgrim. You can never conquer the mountain. You can only conquer yourself. Talent without discipline is like an optimist on roller skates. There's plenty of movement, but you'll never know if it's going to be forward, backwards, or sideways. Life is so challenging for the man that lives in it, in this world. Come out of this world. Be not partakers. It's enough if you know what I mean to come out of the world. But it's not enough to have great qualities. We should also have the management of them under control. If you've got good qualities, let it express itself. Don't hide it. Don't light your candle and put it under a bushel basket. Let it shine. Show people that you're tender hearted and you're able to forgive. Come back to Yahweh and love your brothers and your sisters. Control is not leadership. Management is not leadership. Leadership is those of you who seek to lead that would invest at least 50% of your time leading yourself and your own purpose, your ethics, your principles, your motivations, your conduct. Invest at least 20% of leading those with authority over you and 15% leading your peers. If you don't understand what your work for your mislabeled subordinates, then you know nothing of leadership. You only know tyranny. It is not necessary to try to suppress oneself always. This occupation ought to last as long as life. I think the one who really is controlling their emotions are, in the long run, going to win. Beware of endeavoring to become a great man in a hurry. One such attempt in 10,000 may succeed, and these are fearful odds. Let me remind you that it is only by working with an energy which is almost superhuman and looks to uninterested spectators like insanity that we can accomplish anything worth the achievement. Work is the keystone of a perfect life. Work and trust in Yahweh. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. Men are anxious, very anxious, to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. You understand what I'm talking about there? Listen to that again. Men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are not willing to improve themselves. Take a lesson tonight on discipline, and my prayer is for you. I know my journey's been long and hard. I know yours will be. But listen, heaven is surely worth it all. Well, you're listening, Pastor Buddy. I've got my message in for you tonight. And I hope and trust and pray that you have learned something about discipline. Discipline is something that will give you power to overcome the world. Discipline is something that will bless you in darkness. It will give you light and will help you to find your way. It will bless you going in and will bless you coming out. It will give you faith without which no man shall see Yahweh. I love you tonight, and I'm sponsored by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey, my good friends, down in the great state of Mississippi. If you've been enjoying our show and you'd like to write me tonight, just write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight here on a Tuesday evening right before the midnight hour. It ain't too late to discipline yourself and take notice that those who sleep, sleep in the night, and those who work, work in the day. Let's act like tonight. It's broad open daylight, and the candle's still burning. Praise Yahweh. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. And if you'd like to sponsor Pastor Buddy, just like Mark would tell you that he sponsors me, and he puts his money where his mouth is. He walks a walk, and he talks a talk. He wants you to hear this message tonight, to live in a self-disciplined world, in your world, and let it be Yahweh. I love you tonight. I'll see you tomorrow night at 10 o'clock on a Wednesday on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel around the world. Yahweh bless you and keep you, and I love you.
Put your faith into one pair of hands.